Kia ora, I'm Rochelle Stewart-Allen.
And I'm Tui Hana Oihia.
And welcome to the Tātou Tātou podcast, kaitiaki kōrero about wellbeing and hauora. So today we're connecting with Rokana Sheward from Belong Aotearoa. Looking forward to hearing her stories about her own personal hauora journey. Welcome, Rokana. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Kia ora, Rokana Sheward. I am a resident of West Auckland and I work for Belong Aotearoa. That is to support the settlement for former refugees and migrants. And in particular, we're looking at different ways to make it a lot easier for them to integrate and feel part of the fabric of Aotearoa New Zealand. We've been going for about 17 years just doing programs, so we've had a bit of a shift to look at why are the same issues keep coming up. I have two cats, two children, and a husband, and a very soggy garden.
We love how the pets always come up first. I've been guilty of that too.
Yes. Well, Ngā mihi ara mai, welcome. It's lovely to have you here with us today. We're here to kind of really have that honest conversation around oranga, around hauora, around well-being, because we know of many community leaders who have incredible empathy and are in these roles of serving others. I suppose this kōrero is around how you serve yourself in terms of how you nurture and look after your hauora while doing that for so many others.
I was thinking as I was driving here that I only know this sector, the community voluntary sector. I was someone who left school with no education at the age of 16, a NEET, particularly because of my neurodiversity. And I've just known the sector because I've had people help me, and so therefore it's reciprocal. But I also burnt out in my early 20s because of the fabric of the environment of the voluntary community sector and the expectations that you do so much for so little. So I think early on I've had to learn to look after myself. And so I recognise a lot of the signs in me when I'm feeling a bit manic. And so it's finding the time and actually having to carve out the time. For me, I love to swim. And I find that it's so boring that it's meditational doing the laps.
Mindful.
Okay. You know, and it's where I process is in the water and cooking. I love to cook.
It's interesting that you bring up water because from a Te Ao Māori perspective, water is around pure, so it's around cleansing. And it's such a big part of if you go to Tangi and you go to the urupa, to the cemetery, and you wash your hands, or if you don't, you go into the whareti and you do yourself with water. If your children are feeling a bit wee-wee, wah-wah, not quite cool, or even yourself, you would take yourself to the water. There's different phases of the maramataka where we know to go and do pure. So I find that really interesting that you swim. And in that swim, although you say it's boring, it must also be incredibly peaceful.
It's almost like each length I do, I can almost feel the brain going,
wow.
You know, nice. Just, you know.
So it's like decompressing as you're going
forward. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's how do I decompress?
So maybe as you're doing it, as you're doing the strokes, like the stress is permeating out from you, probably the emotion and out your muscles
And then when you talk about kai, I know people mock and it's funny, ha ha, you know, there's so much kai, but kai is actually about nurturing ourselves, that whole thing about whakanoa. So tell us about your cooking. Oh, I want to hear about the cooking.
Just want to get an invite.
Yeah, I do. I'm a bit of a foodie, believe it or not, but yeah.
Well, I've been a vegetarian for about 35 years and I used to be a vegetarian cook as well. So I learnt the hard way in the kitchens where I bluffed my way in as a student. But what I find is Sunday is my church day, which is my food day. And I didn't realise till quite recently when my daughter came out of her bedroom and she said, oh, how stressed are you, Mom? I said, what do you mean? She goes, every surface is covered in some partly baked, partly cooked food. I said, I'm not. I it's great. I'm feeling so good now. And so it is just baking new things like cakes as well as roast vegetables and putting the different herbs on and just spicing it up and chucking something together quite quickly as well as prepping food. So I'm trying to look after myself through the week.
You're speaking to my heart in so many ways.
I was thinking people must love coming around to your house.
Yeah, because one of my favourite memories is of my grandmother. She baked and same with my mother. And it's funny because I haven't baked Russian fudge and I bake cream puffs, chocolate eclairs.
Oh, I haven't done that.
So, yeah, but I haven't done it for such a long time. Kind of left it over there. So that is the one thing. I could give up every sweet thing under the sun, apart from fruit, because I love fruit. But in terms of sugary things, but you put a piece of cake in front of me, yeah, that's the one thing I would never forgo. Yeah.
I think one of my favourite foods is actually a baked potato.
Ah.
So simple.
Yeah.
But it's just like that with butter.
I was going to say, is that on its own or with other things? Yeah, let's get into detail.
But you know, when you talk about that baked potato, what are the karioroto, what are the feelings and the emotions that you get from talking about your baked potato? Because it was interesting, like, again, we're not
her
filming, but her eyes lit up and her smile, and you can almost feel her heart, you know, her poku.
Yeah, keeping it simple but tasting really good. That's what nourishes you, you know. Yeah. The simple food, but at the same time, love a good ultra-processed food of a pack of chips. Or
absolutely, we do.
Yeah, food plays such an integral part in our lives and in the community. And one of the things that we've started doing at work is we all sit down and eat lunch together.
Nice.
And it's probably just been the past year since we came back from working from home, from COVID. And it's actually, we all look forward to, is it 12 o'clock yet? Can we sit down? Oh, what are you eating?
Mm. Well, it's called tahitanga, you know, it's about bringing people together.
Yeah. That's a nice well-being thing as well to do, so that you're not only having meetings or talking about the mahi, but instead you're actually coming together. For me, the idea about kai as well is that it's a joining thing, like you don't even have to speak the same language, right? Like you can share kai together and that warmth of that, of sitting together and eating together, whether you speak the same language, you come from the same background, it doesn't matter. There's like a real connection through food and the power of kai, I think.
In the space that you work in, with immigrants and those that are new to Aotearoa, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing for them in terms of how they nurture and look after themselves? Because there would be some that have some real trauma, I would say, that they bring with them. Not in all instances, but in some instances.
I think one of the things I've observed, and I'm sure Rochelle has seen a lot as well, is that sense of feeling connected to a community, and whether that's through meeting people on a regular basis so you can build up an understanding of each other, is probably the most important thing. Often we've been working particularly with women who have been very isolated. I often hear stories that they spend a lot of the time going to an English class, not quite understanding it, going home and crying because they can't connect. And then through being involved in the community, and it just lifts their confidence, lifts their mental well-being, and rediscovering, well, not rediscovering, but being confident about who they are. And again, that often comes out through the kai of, oh, I've made this, please try it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, it's got too much meat on, I can't. But you kind of, I take it, oh, thank you, and I take it home for someone else in the family. But I think that shows that there's an exchange as well of food culture,
I think about that idea as food is, back to my point about food as language, you know, because people, I mean, there's so many incredible cooks in our migrant and refugee background communities. Amazing cooks, beautiful food, and often really beautiful traditional recipes that have passed down the generations as well. And it's incredible how many spaces I've been to where those women have spent hours, days, weeks preparing when there's something shared. And it's prepared with so much aroha, with so much love as well. And the offering as well of that, that's something without, with or without language, that they can offer to people as well.
You're absolutely right then. I was just remembering it's not quite the slow Kai movement, but that thing of preparing food. So yes. We're not in this rush. Even falafels, fresh falafels, take about 48 hours to soak, to mince, and the other spices. And it is intentional cooking in a way, because today's Friday, we're going to have a gathering on Sunday. I've probably started the day before, whereas if it's me, it's like, oh, I got an hour, okay. You know, and it's that rush. And what you said there, Rochelle, really resonated with my learning that I've been on over the past couple of years.
So just to go back to where you were talking a little bit about burning out in your 20s, so what were some of the things that you did? You obviously recognised it, firstly, that's the first step. What were some of the steps that you took to rebuild from there?
I didn't realise it was burnout. I was just crying all the time. The minute I was alone, I was crying. And I was like, this is, must be hormonal. I went to the doctor and I just said, my hormones, you know, I shouldn't be having this. And they started asking me about what I did. And they said, I think it's burnout. And I had no idea what that was. So I actually just spoke to my boss. I think I was very fortunate about the managers, leaders I served under. And he was very supportive and just said, okay, this is what you need to do. If you want to go and have some extra help, we'll pay for it. Just take the time you need. After a week, I felt great and wanted to come back.
Oh, I'm fixed.
And he was like, no, just take a bit more time. Don't worry about money. And so I probably had about 2 weeks off, but then I was almost like work to rule. You know, like when you just work till five, you don't do all that extra evening work or stuff like that. And that was really, really hard because you are serving communities. I always saw it. So you need to go where they are. But we also got extra staff on. I think that might have been a point, if I'm looking back, is that thing of just expecting so much from one human being. I think it is changing, but we really need to be aware of that.
Can we ask, what were some of the signs? What were some of the tohu? Or were you not even consciously aware that you were burning out?
No, I think, and I thought about this, is it because I constantly have to prove myself? If you've left school at 16 with two fingers up to the education system, you then got to prove yourself that you're as good as that person sitting next to you with the master's and the PhD. And I was winging a lot of stuff in my early 20s because I knew it, but I did go back to university, but that was late 20s. So I often wonder if it was I'm good enough. And is that also built-in gender thing going on as well? Someone was telling me when Jacinda Ardern said, right, I'm resigning, she said, apparently, I have got nothing else to give. And a commentator said that is very apt to her generation. It's almost like they know when enough is enough. And I can see this in my daughter. I'm like, man, I worked harder than you.
Yes.
What's up with you? I was like, oh, yeah, you burnt out, didn't you? Be quiet. And it's this thing of, how do we know when enough is enough? And so that's something I've been thinking about this year anyway, and how we get out of that trap.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because I think that is absolutely true. And it's interesting how it's maybe generational and possibly cultural as well. But yeah, I'm the same. I burn out in my 40s. And there were all those signs before that I just ignored. And I was actually talking to someone about this yesterday. So I was running around. I was working full time. I was running my charity, which was also full time. And I was doing a startup. And then I got to the point where I just couldn't think. I actually lost the ability to kind of think. I just felt numb, because you get in that sort of freeze state where you just feel really numb. As I recognized it and I was looking back, I was thinking, I don't know why I was so hard on myself. Like, this is unrealistic. But very interestingly enough is that everybody around you actually affirms that that's a positive thing. Wow, you're doing so much. That's awesome. That's exciting. You know, you get also an affirmation from that. Like, wow, the mahi that you're doing is incredible. That's so exciting. Wow. And I was looking at other people thinking, why are you going so slow? And so I just thought that was a really positive thing, and everyone was kind of affirming that it was a positive thing. Wow, that's so awesome that you do all this stuff, but actually it's not sustainable, you know, and in the end, either your brain or your mind will stop you. you know, so either physically your system will just go enough and you can have a heart attack, a stroke, some kind of a breakdown or something. And luckily, I feel really lucky because I got warning signs, whereas I could have just had a stroke and then that could have been it, right? But I had warning signs. Or people used to say to me as well, like, oh, I think you're working a bit too much. I was like, no, I'm fine. You should all just speed up. But it was exactly as you're talking as well, Rakana, about I had that thing about being versus doing, because for a long time I was an artist and I felt like I was kind of behind other people, you know, like financially, professionally, all these kind of things. And I thought I'd better work harder to kind of make up for lost time, and how the world kind of supported that. But then also the people that were did care and love for me were like, you're doing too much. And I couldn't see it at that time. It's only after you sort of tip then you think, well, that was pretty obvious that that was where it was headed, right? And we see this so often in community groups as leaders just pushing with no downtime. And because it is really hard, you have to work out how to create space. And sometimes when you're too far over, you can't do that yourself. Like, someone has to do it for you.
I was wondering about how in the community, voluntary sector, whatever terminology, how do we grow careers for the future leaders, and how can we set it up so that they don't on that manic treadmill sometimes?
Mm.
I haven't got an answer.
But maybe yeah. You're also talking, because you're saying about your daughter's generation, maybe younger generations will not push it so far, will say, hey, this is enough now, I've done enough, I've given enough, and what the impacts of that might be.
Mm.
Maybe funders will be like, we must get more money so people are better resourced.
It's interesting because my 18-year-old, it's kind of like, come on, you got to work, you know? You got to work. You know, yeah, I suppose I do. No, it's like, what? Are you? And then saying, okay, well, we need to do this, 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 and it's like, whoa, mum. Moving too fast, right? I'm like, what? And you know, everything will be fine, you know? And if I could get a job, I'd just work 5 hours, that would be sweet. And I'm like, what the hang of a jagger is that about? But maybe it's a lesson that we can actually learn, because there are so many stats, and I'm not really into stats, you know. I love hearing more about people's stories than I am about stats, because I think stories have beautiful stats within. But, you know, the traditional form of stats says that sometimes that 2 hours of work that you do can actually equate to 6 or 8 hours of work, that you don't necessarily, this kind of form, this kind of, you know, psyche of we have to work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, is really becoming quite antiquated and old, and it actually isn't that productive. And I often wonder, like during COVID, productivity was pretty phenomenal considering we're all at home, right? And now we've all got to go back into the office and there's an expectation, and I'm just like, wow, have we actually learned? Are we learning anything, and have we learned? And maybe it is that we need to listen to, maybe I need to listen to the 18-year-old. And because we disregard their whakaaro or their opinion because they're young, right, which is just a crock of BS, because maybe they're actually, they're the ones that are living a healthier lifestyle than ourselves, right? I think there's just an opportunity. How old's your daughter that you're talking about?
21.
Yeah, funny. I've got a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old plus an older one. But, yeah, they're just really questioning the kind of what would have been a status quo. And, yeah, I just think, is there some learning that we can take from that? Because we talk about balance, which is, that word drives me a bit nutty, but, you know, we talk about finding balance, and maybe there is balance with our younger generations, the rangatahi. Maybe we could learn a thing or two from them.
I think you've articulated probably what I've been sensing the past month or so, is I've got a son who's gone over to the UK, staying with my parents, and he's worked in kitchens. He left school at 16 as well. And then he went for quite a few jobs and he just decided not to have them. And I said, why? And he goes, I'm never working in a kitchen again. It's too traumatizing the way that they treat you. And I had to bite down and stop myself saying, well, I did it your way.
Yeah, buckle up, mate. Yeah,
you know, and it's like, okay. And so, yeah, it's been thinking, what can I learn from that?
Rather than 20 years working in a kitchen and being really traumatized, he was like, actually, I don't need that. I'm going to go and do something else that's not going to cause me all that trauma. Yeah.
And that's a great example of somebody looking after their haora. Yeah,
I know. Right. And then we're like, oh, no, they're too young and they should just work.
Sorry, we're going a bit off on our kids' tangents here, but like, oh, no, Mum, I've decided I don't want to do that job because I was eating far too many takeaway and just the hours weren't good for me, so I just left. I can tell you, I never left the job without having another job, but I'm like, okay. You got to have a bit of faith and a bit of trust and actually a bit of openness that maybe they've got it right.
It's flipping the model, right? It's actually saying, yeah, whereas we're sort of putting that indoctrinated head that we have that you must work, you must work hard, you must work this much. And I remember when we did the podcast with Eden and he was saying, I don't believe that our te puna sacrificed all that they did so that we could work 40 hours a week.
Yeah, no, they did not.
Yeah. And it's like, whoever had that kind of vision that we would sit in front of boxes on the internet all day and be writing stuff, it's so unhealthy for us, unhealthy for our bodies, our minds, everything.
Yeah, Brave New World, or putting on the lens of a 19, 20-year-old.
Yeah, who's looking at it in a different way, right, without all that indoctrination about what they must do, all the things that they must do or not do. Yeah. So what are some of the things, so you've talked about cooking and swimming. Are there some gaps? Are there things in there that you'd like to do for your well-being that you're currently not doing?
I think one of the things is just chilling, actually. And it's really hard. How do you just do nothing? And sometimes that is to have friends around for dinner, but also just how do I take off for the weekend and just enjoy a different part of the places I haven't been to in Aotearoa, you know. Like doing a road trip, you know, is when I have done it, I come back and go, that was great. Even though you're sitting in a car, but you stop, you go, you walk, you see, it fills you up. Well, it fills me up. So I think I need to look at how I schedule in those little breakaways just to refuel in a way.
I think there's a real power as well as stepping out, you know, stepping out of day-to-day life. Because, you know, when you're at home, you think you're either doing it or feeling like you should be doing stuff around the house or, you know, doing this, catching up or paying this or doing that. Whereas when you're away, you're like, well, I can't do any of that. And then at the same time, you've got new spaces, new inspiration. And I think, because I love travel as well, it really takes me out of my head and more into my body and more into what I'm seeing and experiencing and smelling and tasting and, yeah, which is much more relaxing than just being kind of at home but stuck in my head thinking about all the things.
I think it is filling more of your senses. You do go in your feelings. You know, you're in a new township and it's like, this feels good. It's vibrant. What are you taking that on? You know, you're just using your eyes, but your body has to waken up to, like, feel that as well. I think the other thing that I've done in the past when I've been on the verge, you know, it's like you can recognize the signs of burnout, was I followed diligently a gratitude diary that Suzanne Henwood, she does a lot of work around the three brains, the head, heart and
puku.
And I would start every day doing that and it just so lifted me out. But it was quite prescribed. It's not just I'm grateful for my family.
Yeah.
It was being really precise and putting your hand on your heart and recalling something you were really grateful for. And that just would shift my day. I was getting out of like, oh, do I need to go and get a divorce lawyer? You know, because you're living at home all cramped up in the family and stuff. And to like, it really did open up my heart again to my work, to my family and everything. And I think, what would my life be like if I did that religiously every day, you know? I did it for 10 days and I felt better, so I stopped doing it.
It's the age-old thing, the things that it really help you and you're like, this is awesome, and then you decide to go and do something different.
I think gratitude journaling, just journaling actually, is really quite healthy. I find that sometimes I can be great at it and then I just leave it, but it's something I know I can go back to. I think it's not putting pressure on ourselves, you know, like, oh, after 10 days I feel great, I don't need to do it anymore. I think there's that happens as well for a lot of people. Oh, yeah, I'll have a go at that. Oh, yeah, okay, I feel good now. I've done breathing for 10 days. I've done meditation for 10 days or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I think that it's nice to hear you say just to chill. I really struggle with just chilling. I can chill on an island because I'm away. But to chill at home, I really struggle with chilling at home because I feel like there's something I should be doing or something I should have done. And really sometimes to watch whatever you want to watch or not even watch, but just to be, it's okay. I think there is some harshness to ourselves and we need to be softer and we need to, you know, talk about people say give yourself permission. Well, you really kind of do, right? Yeah. So.
Just relax, decompress, do nothing.
Mm.
I think also those words of, remember that was the ad with John Kerr and talked about him, he said he was an active relaxer.
Mm.
So he needed to be physically doing something, which kind of picks up on what you were saying about swimming and cooking as well, Rakana. Because I like cooking as well. I find that really relaxing. I don't find it relaxing when it's 5:30 and I'm really hungry and I've worked all day. I don't find it very relaxing then. But if I, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon, I'm like, I could cook some stuff for the week. And, you know, I just find that really relaxing. And it's because I'm active, you know, in doing something but without having to use my brain. I think that's a real challenge, is to find the quiet space in your brain. Like, you can find it in your body, but to find it in your brain is a real challenge, I think, for lots of us, not for everybody.
Thank you for all that you've shared today. It's really beautiful. You've got the most beautiful speaking English. It's like when you speak, I'm just like, oh, and your tone, I'm just like, oh, so lovely. So thank you for being so puno with your kōrero. And I love that it's wai and kai, you know, that it's water and food. And I think it's a different kind of conversation because often we're talking about, you know, got to do this or exercise or something, something. And I just feel like yes, swimming is exercise, but yeah, it's just like you've stripped all that kind of the bullshit away from the expectations of so many things. And these are the things, this and this, because I think sometimes we can try to be doing too much. So I just really want to mihi to you and the way that you care and nurture for your well-being. And we should share more stories about our 20 or 21 year old. And 19-year-olds, my voice.
That's another whole podcast.
That's another whole podcast. But thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure to have you here with us, Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Tātou Tātou, a podcast about kaitiaki kōrero and our wellbeing hauora. You can find us online at huie.org.nz/tātou tātou. That's huie.org.nz/tātou tātou. You can find me online, Rochelle Stewart Allen, at theNGOcoach.com.
Oh, and you can find Tuihana Oi here at www.wewellbeing.co.nz or check out I Am Tuihana on Instagram. Kia ora.
Tātou Tātou is brought to you by Huie Community Aotearoa, Volunteering New Zealand, Centre for Social Impact, and Wu Wellbeing.